Some might say it was only one drive, but the Kennesaw State Owls haven't been the same since. It was September 30th, and the Owls found themselves suddenly trailing at D2 opponent North Greenville 34-31 with only 5 minutes left. 12 plays and 74 yards later, Chandler Burks pounded the game winner home from a yard out with only 16 seconds remaining. The Owls seemingly gained a measure of maturity that day and have been on a roll ever since. They avenged their only loss this season a week ago against Samford in round one of these FCS playoffs and now set their sights squarely on even loftier possibilities. Hi again, everybody. Brian Giffen, Tutan Reyes, Nathan McCreary reporting from the field. And we're very pleased that you have dialed in Kennesaw State University football. Owls try to take down a perennial FCS contender in Jacksonville State, a team that is rested, a team that has won 9 straight themselves, and a team that has won the OVC 4 straight years. And two, we've talked all year about 60 minutes, 3 phases, minimized penalties and mistakes, and all of those factors, in my opinion, are magnified tenfold here today.
Absolutely. The Owls will have to bring their A game today, and the number one ranked rushing attack in the country versus the number 2 rushing defense in the country of Jacksonville State. I guess this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. We'll see what the Owls are made of today, Brian.
And Nathan, place is going to be loud. Huge home field advantage for Jacksonville State, but no moment has been too big for them to this point this season.
Yeah, Jacksonville State hasn't played in like 11 days, so Kennesaw State hadn't had a break since like week 4. So let's see who can come out and really take hold of this and build tempo early.
Christian Kinsley to punt it. DeMontez Terry awaiting the punt. It is a wobbling kick coming this way, takes an Owl bounce, rolls all the way down inside the 10, inside the 5, and is killed at the 1 yard line. Beautifully done. Doesn't get any better than that. Barry, that tight end, lined up as an H to the right. And here is Horn taking a low snap, dropping to throw. Horn has some time, flushed out of the pocket, far side. Now he's in trouble, and down he goes at the 46 yard line. Big loss, and Izzy Sam finally chased him down. It'll be fourth down. Here's Horn taking the snap, going to swing it near side to DeMontez Terry. Terry's not going anywhere. Going to be slung to the ground right at the line of scrimmage. May have lost a yard. The Keburn Rawls firing up and dropped him for a loss of a yard at the 35. Horn in the gun. Thomas back there with him. One receiver left, 2 right. First down around the Owl 30 after a play fake. Here's Horn dropping to throw. Horn's going to be trapped and dropped for a loss back around the 34-yard line. Bryson Armstrong, again, a loss of about 4. 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Third down, 15 at the 35-yard line. Here's Horn taking the snap, swings it out of the backfield, Rock Thomas. Thomas is going to be trapped and dropped. Guess what? He goes backward again. Loses another yard. Dustin Claybo firing up. And down he went at the 36, and it'll be fourth down. Thompson to attempt a field goal at 25. Snap, spot, kick, through there, and good. And the Owls do find the scoreboard on that possession. And with 1:02 to go in the half, it's 7-3 in favor of Jacksonville State. Boy, we haven't had many like this year, guys. Big play upcoming. 8 seconds left. Hester to the left. 3 receivers to the right. Horn in the gun. Has Thompson in the backfield with it. And here is Horn going to be wrapped up and sacked by Desmond Johnson all the way back outside the 40 at the 42-yard line. And here is Burks dropping to throw. Now rolling out this way. Chandler looks down the field, floats it down the field, got a man wide open, diving catch. Jordan Walker down inside the 30-yard line. Beautiful play. And Jordan Walker sitting down there all by himself. They will spot it at about the 27. First down, Kennesaw State. Third down and 4 here. Sumter left, Walker right. Under center, Burks dropping to throw. Here comes the pressure backside, floats it out of the backfield. Reed into the open, breaks a tackle. He's to the 20 and spun out of bounds down around the 17-yard line. Owls throwing the ball, the mid-range stuff too, and running it to the inside, and that combo working here early in the second half. The Owls are a yard or so short of the first down. They're going to leave the offense out there. They bunch everybody in tight. Burks up under center. They need the 8-yard line. Chandler overlooking a stacked front here. Sumter on the left side of the formation. Walker on the right. A-back, Reed and Holland. B-back, McKenzie. Chandler going to take the snap. Give it off to Holland. He's into the open. He's all the way to the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Darnell Holland. 9 yards out, and the Owls have taken their first lead of the game. A statement drive. Rodgers, Terry in motion right, Rock Thomas. A line to the right of Bryant Horn in the backfield. Give Thomas, bang! One tackle missed and then another, and down he goes and may have lost another yard. Back at the 35 he does. Taylor Henkel coming up, and he brought the whooping stick with it. Owls to the line, third down and 3, 10 minutes straight up left to go in the game. In motion starts Holland to the right. Burks takes the snap, drops to throw, quick slant. T.J. Reed into the open near sideline and down it. All the way across the 45 of Jacksonville State, out of bounds at the 43, and a huge first down for the Owls. First and goal, Kennesaw State at the Jacksonville State 2. Burks starting the option near side, end zone, touchdown. Touchdown, Chandler Burks. 2 yards away, and it's 16-7 in favor of the Owls. Two receivers right, one left. Thomas in the backfield. Here is Horn, and he's going to step up in the pocket, guns it down the field, bat it around, intercepted by the Owls. Intercepted. 13 games in a row down at the 30-yard line. Who got it?
Looked like Jace White on that one.
This whole place is shocked, but one column of black and gold over there. Third down and 15 from the 45. Horn in the gun. Horn takes the snap and drops to throw. Horn under pressure. Horn's going to be sacked. Izzy Sam buried him at the 49-yard line, and it's fourth down and forever. Jacksonville State's season is on the line here. Six tight diamond victory. Taking a knee is Burks. Clock now under a minute, and they cannot stop it again. 17-7 Kennesaw State. The Owls have come over here to take on the number 3 ranked 2-1 poll, Jacksonville State Gamecocks. This is a storied program, one that's in the top 5 essentially 2 every year. And anybody who doubted the Owls, you better fear the Owl now. Players head to the middle of the field. John Gross and Brian Bohannon exchanging pleasantries in the middle of the field, and Kennesaw State will advance to the third round of the FCS playoffs in only their third season. This great ride will live another week. The Owls have won 12 consecutive games and have knocked off Jacksonville State 17-7. What a game, what a week, what a season, what a team. But anybody who didn't believe around FCS football and the Owls before, today's the wake-up call. Nathan, standing by with your mic open, buddy.
Oh, your name,
Coach? Yeah.
Hey, go celebrate.
Hey, Coach, you went into halftime trailing. That's the first time you've done it this year. What'd you say at halftime?
Nothing. We got to play the second half. I think our offensive staff, they brought some new looks on us in the first half. We did a good job of getting adjusted, and we came out and had a nice drive to start the second half and got it in the box, and our kids kind of fed on that, and we kept playing.
This defense has continued to improve and had multiple tackles for a loss, sacks. Yeah. They really did a great job.
I thought they played exceptional today. They kept us in the game in the first half when we weren't playing good on offense. It's a team win. That's what it's about.
Did you have a sense that if you could pick up a win here on the road and be one of the final eight, what it does for this program?
I'm going to tell you right now, this is an unbelievable ride we're on. One day I'm going to reflect on all this, but it's pretty special, Nathan.
Go celebrate, Coach. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Final Word Podcast, Week 14. There aren't a lot of teams that have the good fortune to be talking about football in Week 14. But here we are, Final Word Podcast, in the frigid confines of the Fifth Third Bank Stadium broadcast booth. Brian Giffen, Nathan McCreary, Brandon Joseph alongside. Jake Doro just came in and promised he'd get the heat working. And here we are. It's the Owls and Sam Houston State. That game comes your way on radio at 8:30 on Saturday night on ESPN 1230, The Fan 2, as well as 106.3 FM here in the Atlanta area, and you can get the broadcast at atlantasportsstation.com. Guys, you kind of take down one of the giants of FCS football, knocking off Jacksonville State, and I think the most impressive thing in all of it is they really dominated the second half to an extent where it really, I don't want to say blowout, but it really could have been substantially more of a score. Certainly could have been 24-7, but you just dominated the second half of the game. And, man, what a day that was for Kennesaw State Athletics.
Well, if the trip over there, you tell me that we're going to hold Jacksonville State to 7 points, I'm telling you, we're winning that game. And that's exactly what they did. The defense came out, played extremely well. Chandler Burks, once again, he pitched the ball when he needed to, and some of those pitches were so late, he took a beating. But that was a big team, physical team, the most physical and fastest team I think we've seen all year long. The size didn't matter. The athleticism of Kennesaw State way outweighed the size that Jacksonville State had. And I don't know if you got to listen to their post-game broadcast. Their players said that the scheme they ran on defense confused them all game long. A credit to Brian Newberry and his staff.
No doubt.
They did a great job. They showed blitz. They didn't blitz. They came at a different angle. They did another great job. And then Bryson Armstrong shows up. Jace White shows up. Taylor Hinkle shows up. Izzy, the names that are on this defense show up, and you walk away out of there with a victory. I mean, it's fantastic football by Kennesaw State.
I think for Jacksonville State, they came into the game expecting to be able to move the ball down the field at will against Kennesaw State and turn this into a 40-point scoring battle. When they couldn't do that in the first quarter, I think that's when Kennesaw State won the game. Jacksonville State, their fans, their side, and they were a little bit shocked after the first quarter. Like, hey, it's still 0-0, and we haven't been able to take control of this game at all. And then Kennesaw State just imposed their will in the second half, and that game was over by the time, the last 15 minutes went up on the scoreboard in the fourth quarter. Kennesaw State had possession of the ball with a chance to end the game.
I think the one thing they did first and foremost defensively was shut down Jacksonville's running game. Jacksonville couldn't run the ball. Rock Thomas is a star player. Rock Thomas is probably going to play on Sundays. He had nowhere to go. Coach told me yesterday, 11 hats flying to the ball. And I think the other thing, you mentioned the size and the athleticism for Jacksonville on defense, but the other thing they had was so much speed, and the Owls matched that speed, and that I think is what's made them and makes them, frankly, so dangerous as these FCS playoffs. There isn't a team that they're not going to be able to run with, and that's a big key. Speed kills.
Well, and I think if when you watch the game, went back and watched the game, you could see the pursuit. And the fundamental tackling by Kennesaw State was there. When you tackle the ball, when you have this fundamental tackling, you don't allow it to get to the second level. And that's what Rock Thomas was frustrated with. That guy, after first contact, that's where he made most of his yards because he was running over people. Fundamental tackling, was what Kennesaw State did so perfectly against Jacksonville State. And that's what you got to do again here against Sam Houston State as well.
Yeah, know what you are capable of doing. They're not capable of standing in front of Rock Thomas and taking him down one-on-one. So what did we see Bryson Armstrong, Taylor Hinkle, and all the guys do? As soon as you got to him, go for his legs and not just try to take him out, but wrap up his legs, slow him down. How many times did we see Bryson Armstrong, Taylor Hinkle, grab a hold of Rock Thomas' legs, double arm, and get dragged a couple of yards, but slow him down enough for the other hats to come and put him down? That's what really was the key to that defensive output for the Owls on Saturday.
That's what Coach was saying yesterday, the fact that, the tackling was superb. But the whole key to it was exactly what you guys just talked about. If you're the first guy there, you may not get him to the ground, but you're going to get control of him, slow him up, and those other hats flying to the ball are going to get there. So when they shut that part of it down, then you add in, the confusion that you mentioned where you're disguising your packages. And it wasn't a secret. Taylor Hinkle told us on the air, on the pregame show, that, the whole key to it is to disguise what we're doing, come at them from different angles. And I think that plays a little bit into – schematically anyway, into what you're going to have to do this week. It's hard to, of course, we don't know much about Sam Houston State other than what you watch. They score points like a pinball machine. Right. I think they're averaging 46 points a game, but their quarterback is not mobile at all.
Right.
Not a guy who's going to run around in the pocket and beat you that way. So pressure is going to be a big key, and holding your coverage down the field also is going to be a big key, and then limiting yards after the catch because their skill guys are phenomenal too.
Well, yeah, and they're going to go deep. And this is a team that stretches the field. I think they average 15 yards to 20 yards per catch, per reception. They had 500 plus 500 yards against South Dakota in that win. Oh, 708 overall, 200 on the ground, but 500 through the air. 41 touchdowns on the season for Jeremiah Briscoe, the quarterback that you were mentioning. He only has 5 rushing yards all season long. This guy is a stand in the pocket and passer, and he's just going to throw it away if he doesn't get it. You get pressure on him, you're going to cause him problems. But on the back end of the secondary, Jace White is healthy. Taylor Hinkle's healthy. Those guys cannot let those receivers get past them. They've done a good job of it so far. Late in the season, can fatigue set in? Who knows? But you can't let those receivers get past you.
Yeah, I got to watch a little bit of that Sam Houston State, South Dakota game on the way back from Jacksonville, Alabama. it's ridiculous what they do offensively. They don't try to disguise what they're going to do. They're going to throw it deep. They're going to throw it over the top. And guess what? They don't defend well. They don't really care about defending. Their lowest point output, I believe, was 23 points this year. And that was one time they had three games under 30 points. Every other game this season, they put up 40-plus points. That's the name of the game. And for Kennesaw State, we've seen this a lot with them, that ball-hawking defense. They know how to find the ball. How many times does Taylor Hinkle find himself in the right situation? Even Bryson Armstrong, when he drops back into coverage, that's going to be key. Disguise the coverage and make Briscoe have to throw the ball in spaces that aren't there when the time the ball gets there.
So one key, as I mentioned, is going to be pressure. You obviously want to get his feet moving and get him uncomfortable. The other key for me, best way to beat a 50-point team is to possess the ball, which the Owls do phenomenally well. And you already mentioned the fact that this is not necessarily a real strong defensive team. They do have a couple of outstanding players on that defense in the front seven. But, you know, this is one of those where you'd love to see a couple of those 8, 9, you know, 10-minute type of drives where you go 89 yards down the field and put it in the end zone, because you know if you eat up half quarters and you limit possessions with long drives, they can't hang the 50 points on you.
One thing, when we got a chance to be on the sidelines, we could hear the student section. They were so frustrated. Kennesaw State held the ball 22 minutes of the final 30 minutes of that football game.
Yeah.
And that, when you're up, when you score that touchdown to go up, they knew they're in trouble. And you could see, you could hear the frustration, and they had never seen anything like that before. You know, a lot of these people say it's gimmicky football. Well, you possess the ball and you go down and score. You put up 17 points. I put up more than you put up. That's the name of the game. But, yeah, they've got a couple of good defensive linemen. You want to talk about athletic guys. P.J. Hall, he's a defensive lineman, 6'1", 310. He has 4 blocked kicks on the season. Special teams may be key in this game. We thought it was going to be key against Jacksonville
State.
And
really, it was.
And it was key. The punting has been phenomenal for Kennesaw State. It may come into play against Sam Houston State as well.
Yeah, for Sam Houston State. And they had 4 drives in that game against South Dakota in which they scored touchdowns in under 4 minutes, primarily by passing. So for Kennesaw State, you do need to possess the ball. You do need to limit the amount of times they touch the football, because Sam Houston State can score at will with that. And time is, you would think with a passing team, you know, it's going to take them a little bit longer. They're going to have short possession. They score so quickly, it's almost inconsequential what Kennesaw does with the football. So they do need those 10-minute drives. And I hate to say it, that needs to be the focus. We need to score, but we also need to be aware of the clock, because the easiest time to milk the clock is in the first, second, and third quarter, rather than getting down in the fourth quarter where the scenarios are very limited. Control the clock early. Limit their possessions from the kickoff, and then you don't have to worry about it in the fourth quarter.
These guys are 12-0 in playoff games in their place, Bowers Stadium. And the fact that they've been there and played in 12 playoff games in a stadium, I think it just opened in like 2014 or something like that, tells you all you need to know. This is an annual beast-type team in FCS football. Now, they haven't won the championship, but they've certainly been deep into the playoffs before. This is not uncharted territory for them. It's intriguing to me, because a lot of times when Ken, and we've seen it, guys, when you go face teams out of conference, Duquesne's a good example. Teams that have never faced this offense before, if your eyes are in the wrong place, I forget which coach it was, maybe Monmouth's coach, in the week leading up to the game, if your eyes are in the wrong place for a split second, if you commit to something for a split second, you're going to get beat by this offense. So I'm always intrigued to see how a team that's not generally faced this type of offense defends it, when you couple the fact that Kennesaw State, on both sides of the ball, has such team speed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to try to simulate the option in practice, but to try to simulate it at the speed and the precision that Chandler Burks and the Owls run it, good luck with all that.
Well, and what allows them to get those perimeter game going, Shaq Terry and Darnell Holland have done a great job, has been Jake McKenzie. That Jake McKenzie has been a linchpin to this offense, pounding the ball. I mean, when you give him the ball, he's getting 2-3 yards every time. He hasn't fumbled. He hadn't had the turnover issues. I mean, he has just been a bruiser. And then you got Bronson Rechsteiner back there who's been getting some carries as well. To get 3 or 4 carries up the middle on a big defense like Jacksonville State had opens up that perimeter game. And you're right, they couldn't get to the edge quick enough, because next thing you knew, Shaq Terry, they got that corner, they got that edge, and 3-4 yards down the road, down the field, maybe even 10 yards down the field, we saw some big carries for those guys. So, yeah, it's a tough offense to stop. We'll see. I don't think Sam Houston's seen anybody like this So we'll have to see. They were played out of the Southland Conference. They did not win their conference, by the way. Their conference was won by Central Arkansas, mm-hmm. who made the playoffs.
And that's the only team that beat them,
and the only team that beat them, and it was a 41-30 game. But that Central Arkansas has already been knocked out. So they're the only team left in the Southland. You know, they want to protect their house. I'm not saying this is going to be easy.
No, no.
But I think Jacksonville State was much more of a concern for me because of the size that they had and kind of the history and the experience that they had of that program.
And the Jacksonville State did a great job of getting their students out, getting fans out to pack that stadium. Sam Houston State had 4,000 people at the game, so I don't think crowd factor would be a big...
I think it seats about 16 so at standing room only.
4,000 people showed up to their game last week, so if that amount turns out, Kennesaw State already steps on the field with an advantage, not have to worry about the checks and the crowd noise. For Sam Houston State, you cannot replicate what Kennesaw State does in practice at any point, because Chandler Burks does a great job with the late pitches. Mm. You can't replicate that in practice because you don't want your scout team guys or anybody to have to take a hit like that, so you tell them, get the ball out early. Those are things that break down in practice that don't translate to a game necessarily. And also, when Sam Houston State's that second and third level are looking into the backfield, that's when Kennesaw State likes to go over the top. That's when Kennesaw State uses Justin Sumter. Me and Nathan were on the sideline. We talked about that third and I think it was six. What's the play? You get Chandler out, and Justin Sumter runs a quick little post route, turns, gets his body big, and the ball's on him. Well, when you're Sam Houston State, you're so worried about the option, especially when you don't see it. Every little thing is magnified in your mind that, hey, this is what we saw in practice. This is an option play. Oh, no, the ball's over my head 10 yards down the field. That's the big advantage for Kennesaw State.
Well, and that's something, you know, we always talk about how it's so heavily run-oriented, but that's, you know, we talked about that as a key last week. Mm-hmm. Chandler Burks is going to have to be accurate, and for the most part he was, and he got Jordan Walker involved and T.J. Reed with a huge first down on pass plays. If you can spread it a little bit when a team's already all over the field trying to defend this option, if you add the pass option to it, good luck with getting them stopped. Coach says it all the time. The idea behind this is to make them defend the entire field.
Right.
And, boy, Kennesaw State's done it. The other thing, guys, going into this, we know because we've seen them all year. You know, we laud the great defensive performance over at Jacksonville State. But those of us who have been around here realize this defense has played phenomenally for week after week after week after week. And I don't think there's one of them down there that tells you, I don't care. You know, that wouldn't tell you, I don't care if they score 46 points a game or not. They haven't played this defense.
Well, and we know – but the nation is beginning to know because Kennesaw State, Jace White's interception opened it was the pregame package, opened the show for the college football scoreboard on the ESPN late show because they want to talk about the plank. You know, so people are starting to realize it's that plank. People are starting to realize that this Kennesaw State team is something special. They mentioned 13 games in a row they've had an interception. So this is something that we've known. When we saw this team, you know, pick up 3-4 interceptions a game, the plank shows up. Okay, it's fun. Now you're getting national attention on it. I want to go back to something about Justin Sumter. Justin Sumter being able to catch that slant pass or post route, whatever it was that he caught, is so important. He has got to catch those. It's not
no
just
doubt.
About those corner passes. And he's had a little bit of trouble. He had one at Liberty on third down. Or maybe a fourth down play. No, it was a third down play where it hit him right in the hands. He's got to catch those balls. And then Chandler Burks had one where it was right in front of BJ and I. Down the field, Justin had a step, and it sailed over his head. Now, that was early in the game. I think guys were just getting warmed up. But if you can hit one of those, you change the thought process
no
of
doubt.
That defense.
You keep their eyeballs moving. You keep them guessing. And for Kennesaw State, what I think is also going to be there is a wheel route for the running back. You know, you get one guy to come out with Chandler on an option look, but then – you know, another back slips out and there will be an open wheel route. Sam Houston State's their linebackers do not do a great job in coverage. There's a lot of mismatches. From what I saw of them, they like their 11 on defense. They don't like to switch out, whether it be nickel or dime look, so you will have an opportunity to get a linebacker guarding a skill position guy for Kennesaw State. They need to take advantage of that on those situations. But for Kennesaw State, another big point of them defensively is, yes, Sam Houston State likes to throw the ball, and when you're ball-hawking defense, there will be a lot of plank opportunities, but you can't over-pursue. You cannot try to jump a route. Just play assignment football. You see the guy in front of you, keep the guy in front of you. That's what Sam Houston State likes to do. They like to since they pass a lot, they get cornerbacks thinking, hey, I can jump this route 20 yards behind them before you even can finish the thought process of jumping a route. So play your assignment. Be smart. There's nothing wrong with keeping the guy in front of you and limiting a completion to 6 yards rather than giving the 6 yard completion and 20 yards after the catch.
We talked about speed and we talk all the time about talent. I think this run would tell you we haven't seen James Madison. We haven't seen North Dakota State. But I'll tell you, having been around FCS football a long time, watching this team, there isn't anybody out there that I'm aware of that this team doesn't have the talent to play with. And the biggest intangible for them now, I believe, is the confidence. They believe they belong here. They've played like it. They've showed that they belong here. And nothing from this point forward. The only thing that would surprise me is if they didn't show up and play their best football. Yeah. And I don't see that happening.
No, me neither. And you've already taken down the number two. Jacksonville State was actually ranked number two in the nation in some polls. They were third in the standings as far as the playoffs go. But you're talking about coming in facing Sam Houston State. You've already taken down a Jacksonville State team, which I think a lot of people thought probably would be in, at least runner up in that run, make a deep run. It was a
certainly
shock.
A semifinalist.
Absolutely. So now you're like this new kid on the block. Here's Kennesaw State, and it's only third year in the program. I think this team is still taking some of those folks outside of the Southeast region by surprise, and that option is killer to them. And what you mentioned, the defense doesn't like substituting. Let me tell you, Jacksonville State was beaten down by that third period. Because of that run, they absolutely got throttled, and their endurance was not ready for what the option was bringing.
Yeah, and Jacksonville State, they didn't really estimate what Kennesaw State was, what they could bring to the table. Leaving that stadium Saturday afternoon, a lot of their fans looked over at us and just like, wow, you guys are really good. Kennesaw State is legit. Best of luck. We want to see you guys do well. And that's the true
testament.
They said
some other things, too.
Yeah, they said some other things pregame. You know, they didn't have so many nice things to say pregame, but postgame, I think Kennesaw State earned a lot of people's respect because you don't, you know, knock off the number two ranked team in FCS and not have everybody's eyeballs take notice.
You know, I talked to my older brother this week, and, you know, he follows football pretty heavily. In fact, my niece graduated from Marist, so that Pioneer League, he used to go to all those Marist games. But he watched the broadcast. He listened to us, but he watched the ESPN3 broadcast on his computer.
Good man.
And we were talking, and he's like, I just couldn't believe how good your team is on defense. It's just impossible. You know, this is him. You know, it's just impossible to move the ball on him. And he knows a lot about Jacksonville because he loves the FCS level, you know, and a lot of people do. But, even my older brother was making the point that I just couldn't believe. I don't think I've ever seen a defense fly to the football like this one.
Well, and it's kind of that chemistry, that the pieces have come together. And even though this team has only been together for 3 years, it's been basically the same set of guys. You did lose, you know, Dante Blackman and Derek Farrell from a season ago, but the replacements have been very, very good, and it's kind of been those key pieces. When Jace White was out, I thought this defense played different. There's something about him that's got it factor when he's on the field, and he showed it with the interception. It was a great pick. Got, again, national attention in the FCS as their number one player of the week. So, you know, it's team chemistry, and what they all talk about is they're having fun. They love the 4-2-5 that Brian Newberry has, and they're just fundamentals, and they're just fundamentally good.
And they communicate very well, and that's the biggest thing. You can look at that defensive line, and they're talking, and then linebackers are moving up. Izzy's moving, you know, the linemen around, and then Bryson's communicating with Taylor back there. Jace communicating with everybody. That's amazing that you're seeing. That's how many times do you not see that at every level, in FBF, FCS, and even the NFL? Guys just line up and go after the ball. No, that communication is key because that makes the finite differences that can capitalize on anything, a mistake or even a missed assignment, a misread. Communication is key.
You know, the Owls have taken on some teams that have been explosive, and that defense has kind of limited. Montana State's a great example. They were on their field, fast track. Of course, it was cold, but they're used to it.
Right.
They had all the advantages in the world, big crowd, and an explosive offense, a quarterback that had played pretty well all year, pretty decent running game too. But the Owls neutralize a lot of those things defensively, and I just, you know, again, all credit to Sam Houston State. I'm not going to sit here and predict you're going to go out there and dominate the game. But I just don't see anybody, and Tua would tell you the same thing if he were here, don't see anybody piling up 40-plus points on this defense. Just don't see it happening.
Right, and you know, anything can happen. But even that Montana State game, it was a 16-14 victory. Kennesaw State did enough in the snow, in the cold, traveling all the way across country. Kennesaw State is the furthest team to ever travel to play at Montana State. Now you're back. So you know that the traveling hasn't affected this team. When they get on the field, they just go play football. So and when they play, they're going to they take pride in holding those teams to no points. I mean, when you shut out Charleston Southern 38-0, which is your conference rival, really, they were picked to be your co-champion, and then you smacked them around 38-0. That's big, and that's where that confidence comes from. This team is very confident, and they've got the talent also.
Yeah, what's going to be also is what they did to Jacksonville State. Punch them in the mouth early. Sam Houston State expects to be able to put up points. So if they look up after the first quarter, and let's just say they have 7 points, no points, that does wonders for that sideline. They'll look around that sideline and go, what the heck's happening here? This is not what we signed up for. This is what we do. We put up points. That's Kennesaw State's biggest advantage. You step off the bus, you come out there, you play 100%, you punch them in the face. That makes a game totally different for the next three quarters.
You know, we talked a little bit about the 12-0 record they have in playoff games there. The Owls have been a pretty darn good streak-stopping team this year, too. Jacksonville State had won 9 in a row. Monmouth coming in here had won 7 in a row. They don't seem to be awed by any place. And you know, this the other thing that I think they've already shown, that there isn't a moment too big for them. So if they can go out there and the moment isn't too big, I fully expect it to be a four-quarter game, and I like the Owls' chances to emerge and advance to the semifinals.
Yeah, and Kennesaw State has their own streak going. They dropped the first game to Samford, and they've got 12. Anybody that can win 12 games in a row, there's something special happening right there, and that's exactly what Kennesaw State's done. Now, just kind of talking about concerns, now Kennesaw State has 13 games on tape for Sam Houston to look at. That can be tricky. How many different variations can you use in some of these games? And they've played an extra game. They're traveling. I kind of worry about fatigue. It's finals week. I kind of worry about fatigue and some of those other things, the non-variables that don't show up in the box score. But like you said, we've had a lot of questions that come into each game. Kennesaw State has shown no fatigue, has shown no hang-up, even when they're down at halftime. The first time they've ever been down at halftime, something about the adjustments in the second half, Kennesaw State was able to come out. They continue to surprise us every single weekend, and I'm expecting another surprise over the number 5 team again Saturday and that advance to the semifinals.
Yeah, nothing. They don't fear anything when they step on, whether it be the situation, the moment, the scenery, the weather. Anything that comes their way is just, hey, at the end of the day, it's 11-on-11. I beat my guy. My team beats the other team. We get the ball in the end zone. We win the ball game. And when you break it down and you hear Coach Bohannon talking about that, you know, in press conferences every week, and when it boils down, this is the same game that they've played their whole lives. And, yeah, it is going to be tough to win. It is going to be tough to beat your man, to have your 11 beat their 11 and to get the ball in the end zone. But you still know what you have to do. And that's Kennesaw State football. Know what you have to do. And as the banner says in the end zone, bring the fight.
I'll tell you what, you know, Coach Bohannon deservedly named, of course, Coach of the Year for one, Region 2. Congratulations on that. We give a lot of credit to the leader-type players on the roster and this and that. But I'll tell you what, those two coordinators have done an amazing job with adjustments. And you know, what I'm getting at is Brian Newberry's defense pitches a shutout in the second half in such a hostile environment against a, you know, in some polls, second-ranked team on their field that's had a bye and has won 9 in a row. And Grant Chestnut, frankly, the adjustments, they kept kind of feeling them out, and he found something that would work or a combination of things that would work. And they've done that all year. And those two coordinators are so responsible for so much of, like everybody is, but those coordinators and their adjustments are such a big part of this long winning streak.
And they are. And Grant Chestnut also coaches the offensive line. So, and to look at what they have done, the big question mark was that center position coming into this season. And that offensive line has played so well. And again, go back and listen to Jacksonville State players talk about how well that offensive line moved and protected Chandler Burks when he could pitch the ball late. Next thing you know, the guy's by you. Yeah, they've done a great job. And you know what? And we get a chance to be around them. They're just great people. They're great people to be around.
No doubt.
Brian Newberry and Grant Chestnut, both humble guys that just love football. You know, Brian Newberry's on the field. Chestnut's up in the booth. So we get a chance to see Newberry. The passion that man has in his eyes on game day, that's the guy you want on your sideline, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and Coach Newberry, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. How often in the second half of games, in the third, late in the third, in the fourth quarter, does he go to something that the other team has not seen all day long and all that results in an interception, a turnover, or a big third down stop? That's the key of just having that wealth of knowledge and having the trust in your team that, hey, we may not run this a lot, but when we do run it, I know you can execute it. And that goes down to coaching. I know that in Monday through Friday, you put in the work, and that we have done a great job in coaching you, and you've done a great job in retaining it, that we can call these plays in these key situations, and they will be executed. And to their credit, when they go up in a game, Kennesaw State may not have the years advantage in terms of coaching, but I always feel that they have a scheme advantage offensively and defensively between the coordinators and head coach Brian Bohannon. I just think Kennesaw wins that fight before kickoff.
You know, the other thing, before we stray too far from where you're talking about the offensive line, I mean, doing research and watching YouTube videos and this and that last week about Jacksonville State, just trying to get an idea for who was going to be the big threats and the big challenges. On defense, Darius Jackson stood out, and even in the Tech game, he's all over the field making tackles. His name's called repeatedly. 5'2" and 35, Stoudemire, were the other. So they had about four defensive players that really stood out. We seldom called any of those names. And Jackson, what a job they did on Jackson. They neutralized him. I think he had a couple of tackles in the game, but they were inconsequential and wreaked no havoc whatsoever. And that's a credit to that offensive line.
The only time you called their name is when you said, you know, we haven't heard from so-and-so very much. And that's a credit to that defense and, I mean, that the offensive line. And, yeah, you're exactly right. And on the flip side, that Jacksonville State offensive line, all OVC first team, all four of them. So, yeah, again, they went up against some tremendously talented football players, and they came out victorious. That's just got to be something. And the confidence, the athleticism, there's something special about this team. There's just something special.
Yeah, they block in tandem on the offensive line for Kennesaw State, which really does a great job of neutralizing the best defensive player you have, because when I'm moving in tandems, I can design schemes to isolate the one guy, whether it be the defensive end or the defensive tackle or even a linebacker in the second level. I can design ways to take them out of the play with body movement. Kennesaw State does a great job at that. One of the things I was looking at Jacksonville State was the corner. I believe it was five was one of their corners. They did a great job of at times moving Sumter in and then running around the cornerback and then moving Sumter out, and then five was matched up on Sumter. Sumter would win those one-on-one battles, and they'd run inside. You trust Justin Sumter to block anything, a Mack truck, a freight train, or a cornerback, and they just ran inside. The cornerback couldn't get off Sumter to make the play. Great job by Kennesaw State to, one, block, use the offensive line to block in tandem to neutralize that first, second level, and then trusting Sumter one-on-one to win the outside battle, and then disguising where the corner would have to be to make plays.
Well, as we wrap this podcast up, you know, we talk a little bit about what our expectations, and I'm just going to unapologetically say that obviously we're biased. I mean, we've been with this team, you know, really in some form or the other. We've all been around here since this team started playing, and it's hard for me to pick against them, and it's not as much the emotional part, although that does play a part, but the way that they've played on both sides of the ball, I fully expect the Owls to go out there, make a four-quarter game of it, which is a big key when you're going to play a team that hangs up that many points. And I'm counting on that defense to play well enough to get a couple of turnovers and get pressure on that quarterback, and the Owls come home with a win and advance to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, we celebrate Saturday. Sunday we start preparing just like the football team does, and we start looking at Sam Houston State. We say, wow, powerful offense. You know, very, very good leaders on offensive side, big guys that they had two guys with 17 tackles for loss, Chris Stewart and PJ Hall, who I mentioned earlier. This team puts up numbers on the scoreboard. So how do you limit that? Well, you got to play good defense. We've seen this defense play. I don't think, and watch a little bit of Sam Houston State's game as well, I didn't see anything that they're kind of like Kennesaw State on the passing side. They're not going to do anything special. They know what they do well. They throw the ball down the field. They'll try and do things to set up that long pass, but that's what they do. They set up the ball to throw down the field. I just think this defense has played well enough and is ready for stuff like that. If you can't be more balanced than that, Kennesaw State's defense is going to be ready for you, and I fully expect the defense to come out, and we'll be talking about them next week as how they beat Sam Houston State.
Yeah, for Sam Houston State, they put up 500-plus yards of offense. Guess what? That's not happening. I don't think in any scenario you'll be able to put up 500 yards offense against Kennesaw State. Well, they also allow 400 yards offensive yards for the other team. Guess what? I think Kennesaw State could come close to that with what they do. Kennesaw State will possess the ball and be able to move the ball on them. For Sam Houston State, how do you respond when you can't put up 40 points a game? I don't think they have a path to put up 40 points because I don't think they'll have enough possessions. That is looking at getting points on almost every possession that they have during the game. I think Kennesaw State has a legit shot to win this game. Final score in the realm of 35-30. And yeah, we know Kennesaw State can put up 35 points. We've seen multiple times Kennesaw State just beats teams down and finds the end zone late. I think Kennesaw State does that because Sam Houston State has not had to deal with teams punching them in the mouth by running the ball. That has not been how they play the game. They play a lot of Big 12-type football where it's throwing the ball up and down the field. Their defensive seven will be gassed by the third quarter.
Well, guys, that'll about do it for this edition of the Final Word podcast. And obviously, BJ, you'll be back here adding to our radio audience. But we'll head out there on Friday, and let's see what the Owls can pull. Or are you going out there?
I will be on the sidelines doing sideline reporting for the high school championship game, wearing a Kennesaw State pullover.
Nice.
Got him, baby.
With an earpiece in my ear, not listening to the game in front of me, but listening to you guys.
Well, yeah, it's going to be – it's another opportunity, another trip. Here you go, deep in the playoffs, Kennesaw State, Sam Houston State. This is where it gets really interesting because if you can pick up a win here, really you have the nation watching, and this is going to be fun.
Well, if they haven't noticed already, this team's pretty good, and I think they're going to get it done Saturday. We'll see. We will have one of these podcasts next week, too, as we get ready for the round after this game, hopefully. But one way or the other, we will have one of these podcasts next week. Thanks to Nathan McCreary, who will be doing work on the sidelines, of course, on Saturday night. And thanks to Jake Doro for helping throw all this thing together. I was going to call him Josh, but I know he doesn't like that. But, that rumbling noise you hear in the background is him. But thanks to the Kennesaw State Athletic Department, too, for giving us the opportunity to do the things we do and to get to be a part of all this. What a great ride it's been, and it isn't over yet. We will have the broadcast for you Saturday. Brian Giffen, Nathan McCreary, Brandon Joseph alongside. Pregame coverage begins in the Atlanta area at 8 p.m. straight up, and kickoff between the Owls and the Bearcats follows around 8:30 or shortly thereafter. On ESPN 1230, The Fan 2, as well as 106.3 FM, and at AtlantaSportsStation.com, just click on the 1230 The Fan 2 tab. That does it for us. Third round of the playoffs coming your way shortly. Thanks for joining us. Go Owls.